Buddy, and welcome to episode 416 of the Siren Studs podcast. I'm Kurt, joined once again this week by my monkeying around co-hosts, Peter and Jake.
Yep, that's very true. Undoubtedly, Kurt, this week, coming at you with the bocce edition of the cast, where we try to get as close as possible to entertainment.
We're never going to quite get there.
No. Trying to hit those little white balls.
Little white balls.
Little white ball. There's only one P.
I want to play like ballistic bocce.
Look,
like,
if you're
going to
bring
catapults,
up my people's sport.
And like a football field.
Right. That'd be cool. Like a huge
I don't
bocce.
Think you can like pull, you're going to bring up my people's sport when Peter and I beat you in bocce ball.
That's right. We need you to come back.
I don't remember this.
We need you to come back up. And
I mean, you had quite a few, but it happened.
I don't remember this. So, do I need to get my lawyer here?
I got the truth on my side. You want to waste your money trying to sue me?
You think the truth matters in a court of law? You're living in 2024, baby.
You're going to have to sue me up here. Where it happened.
Yeah,
you think
Elvin
you got
Brad's
more inroads up here than I do?
Elvin the Chipmunk Bragg is in my pocket. We're going to get a
does
court.
Does he speak
of
like
your,
Elvin the Chipmunk?
We're going to get Honor? A court. We're going to get a court of your peers. Of our
what about
peers,
a court of your pears?
All brown headed, 50% tannish. Ethnic
doesn't
adjacent.
Matter. I'm going to hire a celebrity impersonator of Andy Griffith to sit behind me in the courtroom and read a newspaper.
Damn it, you got me.
That'll win the jury on my side.
No, Jake, you got to get the all-Italian.
So good.
You get the all-Italian jury. Is the jury ready? Hey, in unison.
Nah, New Yorker Italians are taking an L today. Russell, little local news for you. Western New York's very own Russell Salvatore has been accused of sexual assault allegations.
Who is this Russ Salv?
He is the owner of Salvatore's restaurant and hotel. He has a
You're gonna
giant,
have to narrow it down.
He has a giant restaurant and like
hotel.
What do you call those? What do you call those rooms that you hold events in?
A venue?
Yeah, he has a venue.
Event room, ballroom.
Yeah, ballroom. Some would say. It's very gaudy and very Italian. A lot of proms, a lot of junior proms.
Russell's Steaks, Chops, and More. Is
That's his son. We're going to talk about his son. Sorry, I forgot there were two. The senior
that's
one.
Why that's why I say these questions. We got to narrow these things down.
I'm pretty sure that's the one his son has.
Apparently, there's not even one. There's more than one famous Russell Salvatore in Buffalo.
There was a rift in the family. Okay, he didn't want to.
The great Salvatore schism of 1985.
He didn't want to go the way his dad was earning his business, so he said, "All right, Dad, I'm gonna make my own house.
I'm swearing off groping
steak
women,
and pork chops." Yeah. No more groping
with
women.
No blackjack or hookers to remove temptation.
And of course, as always, we're coming at you from the Monkey Temple. Yeah, we got the Monkey Temples. We got monkeys hanging from the trees, and we got statues of monkeys, and we got some obscure red powder that we're going to blow in your face and turn you into the monkey.
I love how you had to take a beat to search for the word trees.
What are they hang from, huh?
What was that supposed to know?
Vines?
Those big broccolis.
Bush? What that big brown thing in the yard, huh?
What about those bars, huh? They call monkey bars. Clearly they got to hang from those things,
yeah.
Right? It's the natural habitat.
Quit monkeying
around. The monkeys
around.
Live on the monkey bars,
but
right?
I never see a monkey get drunk.
It's true.
It's probably for the best. I feel like a drunken monkey would be a real bad idea.
That sounds like a drink.
That would be
an ice cream.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of drunk the monkey
would be.
Isn't
like the brass, what's the brass monkey? Isn't that a thing?
There's two things that might be known as brass monkey. There's one like dark rum cocktail that actually sounds pretty good. And then there's the half and half mixture of orange juice and beer.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. The Urban Dictionary level drink that is the brass monkey.
What is in an actual brass monkey? I'm not looking for the Beastie Boys song today. There will be a day that I do. Dark rum, vodka, and orange juice.
Okay.
So it's basically a rum screwdriver.
Okay.
I'm about it.
Not bad. Not bad. That happen. Okay.
Nope, but I could fuck around with that.
So of course we are reviewing the monkey today.
We the monkey guy. The ape person. The zoo,
and we watched a couple documentaries on monkeys. We wrote a report on monkeys. We got to meet a couple monkeys. They may or may not have befriended me.
We listened to the entire discography of the monkeys.
I got bit by a monkey.
It consists of one song. It's the only song.
I arm wrestled a monkey.
They ever made.
So, you know, we really got into their... We learned them. We walked the walk. We are now very in tune with our monkey brethren.
We have shown them how
in no way relates to what we're reviewing on the show today, which is Monkey Man, directed by Dev Patel.
Yes.
But we did do all that other stuff. That is true.
That's true. And that... it didn't prepare us for the movie. Might have prepared us for Trey Watch.
There's no preparing for Trey Watch. You just gotta dive in.
If you need to explain a movie to a monkey, you use the trailers and Trey Watch.
That's true.
Because it's the whole movie in 3 minutes. You love to see it. And it goes by so quickly that you can't even blink twice. Trailer number one.
Yeah. This is kind of like a weird amalgam of a lot of different movies that have come out over the last few years. You can name about like, you could have like seven unique, it's like X meets Y pairings, and they're all valid. Like it's, you know, it's Glass Onion meets Ready or Not, or
The
Menu meets Saltburn.
Meets, I don't know. Whatever that party movie was. I know that narrows it down. That, you know, that party movie, just the one. Yeah, no, it's weird that like a big genre of horror movie is the scary vacation. And not like in the haunted house vacation. It's just, what if we went on a cruise, but it was evil?
It almost sounds as stupid as, or brilliant as our ideas of, you know, what if a child's game was a horror movie?
Well, that was another like cottage subgenre that emerged. They haven't really done it so much anymore, but there was that period of time where like Truth or Dare and like Hide and Seek and shit like that were all coming out, and so we just started picking out what was left.
Just whatever nursery rhyme we could turn into. Yeah.
Tic-tac-toe.
Yeah. Corpses in a Row.
I maintain Tic-tac-toe Corpses in a Row has potential.
I think
As a low mid-budget studio film.
It would be cool to look at how many different vacation horror movies there are.
Yeah.
Goes on vacation.
Well, if you count like summer camps as vacations, then 10,000.
Yeah. I think this is it's a little bit different, this one. Because what was the other one where it's all the 50s housewives and it turns out it's like a computer simulation or some shit?
Oh, Don't Worry, Darling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like, feels like one of those. Yeah, this is like the malicious version of The Hangover because they all keep waking up and they don't know what they did last night.
Yeah.
Yeah,
directed by Zoe Kravitz, which is interesting. I don't know how this is going to do. I feel like this is either going to be a sleeper hit like The Menu was, or it will be out of theaters in 3 weeks.
Yeah. I can see that.
It might be both. This could be a cult classic.
There's so many of these movies that have like a really solid premise, but just like the execution of it just missed by a mile. And it could have been good.
When are we going to get the Gilligan's Island horror movie? They go on a vacation. They get shit.
I mean, maybe. Well, obviously, the answer to all those questions of when are we going to get the X or Y horror movie, as we've learned, is the second it hits public domain.
Yeah, whenever Gilligan's Island is a public domain.
You know what? It already kind of writes itself, right? Because there's only like two like main characters on Gilligan's Island, right?
No, there's like seven.
Shit. Okay. But what if Gilligan's just insane? They're all trapped on the island with him, and he thinks it's the show. Like from his perspective, it's just the TV show. But everyone's like, "Fuck, he's trying to murder us all. We'll never get out of here."
Gilligan's Island, 1964. So it's got a while yet before it's public domain.
Yep. In the meantime, we will go back on Jake's idea. We'll go back to summer camp.
Yeah, from the producers of The Book Club comes a totally different movie, guys. I swear.
Yep.
This one's got Eugene Levy in it.
Now, I know there is a market out there for low-stakes movies for women of a certain age. I feel like this is a little too far in that direction.
Well, I mean, they already did it with The Book Club. Like, it's the same premise, honestly.
But yeah. So it's like, hey, look, here's very, very light hijinks.
I wonder if they have an agreement with like nursing homes that like they have to go see this movie when it hits theaters.
Yeah.
Possibly. I feel like this is an interesting play, because normally I think women of the age that the main actresses are in this movie are generally the prime demographic for this kind of movie. But previously the leads had been younger, like, you know, in their 50s. Now they're in their 70s, closer to the age of the people who really like this movie.
But you know what? For this demographic, like, the Eugene Levy thirst trap is strong.
It's a bold choice.
I never picture myself saying those words.
It's kind of enticing me to go see this movie because of Eugene Levy being the love interest.
She's like, I feel like he's like, I'm gonna get the bushiest brows ever for this movie. You know, that's his character transformation, is he just lets his eyebrows grow out.
And the Allstate guys, is it Allstate or is it the black guy with the really deep voice who does the insurance companies?
I think that's Allstate, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That's Allstate stand.
I think that's the who would this be? Is that Alfred Woodard?
Yes.
I could not possibly know.
There's no information, so
I love that they go through the cast, right? And they're like Academy Award winner Kathy Bates, Academy Award nominee Alfred Woodard, Golden Globe nominee Eugene Levy, and Academy Award winner Diane Keaton. I'm like, yeah, and now they're all in a movie called Summer Camp.
it's true. You know, because it's like,
sad for them.
Well, we're really going to like utilize their acting chops in this movie. Totally, right?
Yeah. They're really going to showcase the skills that won those awards. This is totally not them phoning it in for a paycheck.
No, this is by, you know, one of your aunts goes talking to her church friend and goes, "Oh, they've got a new movie coming out. It's got Eugene Levy and Diane Keaton in it. Oh, it looks like it's just going to be a riot. It's just going to be a total hoot."
Yeah, this is the kind 100%. Of movie that is watched by like married couples that go out to the movies like once every 3 years.
Yes.
And watch, this was also like probably filmed on like a wilderness resort. It filmed in,
yeah,
like,
this is like one of those like weeks. Actual you know, those vacation while shooting movies.
Yeah.
There's a whole Adam Sandler trope. Who's the director? Who did this?
Castile Woodward, I think. Castile Landon.
Oh. Yeah. Who's that? Who's that fuck?
I don't know. He's probably a friend.
Diane's son? Probably. So Landon. You. Oh, it's a woman!
Ah, the swerve. Right. Wow.
Who'd, what do who you would've have thought?
What's your connection to them? Why are you sending these boomers out on vacation?
Why?
While they work?
Why does every movie she's made have the same font in the title?
Oh, it is.
It's a creature of habit.
Maybe it's a, no. It looks like it's maybe it's a series because they all it have after in them.
After,
so
yeah, after ever happy. That's a jungle.
That's a
of words.
Fucking.
After we fell and after everything. Aw. Aw. That's cute.
Hooray.
I'm gonna come.
What is this?
I have no idea who these actors are.
Nope.
I'm just I'm reading like the after series. I guess there's a bunch of them, but I've none of the synopses actually give any kind of plot. It's just romance film.
It got a 4.7 out of 10 on IMDb. I'll ask Kristen if she's watched them. She probably has.
They're just like a mild step up from Hallmark movies.
Yeah, this is it's spicy Hallmark
or,
like
or Lifetime original movies.
Isn't that just porn?
I think that's spicy Castile Landon.
I think we
Castile
get
Landon
very
movies.
Different Hallmark channels.
Next up.
Oh, it's summer camp.
Yeah.
Next
know.
Up. Speaking of spicy, The Exorcism. Russell Crowe. In a not a different exorcism movie.
Why are you going to call it The Exorcism?
Because they just don't care anymore. They really just could not give a single fuck. Because it's a bad exorcism movie about a bad exorcism movie in which a bad exorcism really happens for reals.
So this concept was done better in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is about them making a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, and then Freddy actually starts like showing up in the dreams of the cast. This is that concept, but worse.
This is it's a Shudder original. Russell Crowe is currently doing.
No, I feel like a Shudder original would at least be made by someone who has like knowledge and passion for the genre, and so it would be less banal than this.
Yeah.
So we've got an insider in the YouTube comments who says, "For those who don't know, this is written by the writer of The Final Girls, whose father was the priest from The Exorcist, Jason Miller, who watched his father die on film over and over and over again. So this seems like a tribute to his father, Jason Miller, in a way. Plus, it was originally called Georgetown Project, which is where Exorcist 1 was filmed."
Okay,
you
fair
learn
point.
Anything, class?
On the other hand,
that
a man
was
named
like
Jason Miller named his son Joshua John Miller. I think their point is invalid.
I'm more hung up on that they think it's an interesting connection that this was directed by the son who played the priest in the original Exorcist. That's like some Lone Star, I'm your father's cousin's former roommate yeah. energy here.
What's the point of this? Is the point like the Exorcist on the movie The Exorcist like actually had like demonic things and freaked out or something?
Well, no, because they say like this is going to be like The Exorcist. And you know how all those movies are haunted, right? And then Russell Crowe starts sleepwalking. It's his sleep apnea. It's keeping him up at night.
He ate spicy things before bed. So now his dream is going to be the Rocket Powers video game for the Game Boy Color. I get it. That makes sense.
Oddly specific. Yeah, there's
just a thing people say sometimes.
you're gonna argue with me that naming a specific video game based off a specific television show for a specific platform isn't oddly specific?
No, it's dude, you're reading way too into it. It's just a thing people say from time to time.
I'm not reading anything into it. I'm just commenting on how it's oddly specific.
It's not the Dune trilogy.
Stop trying to gaslight me, Jake.
Girl boss, gaslight, gatekeep. You know how I do. Eat hot chip, vote Democrat, lie. I've been trying to gaslight Kristen for the past 3 weeks now that she's a Swiftie. And ever since like the Taylor Swift album, I've just been like leaving little hints here and there that she's like actually a big fan of Taylor Swift.
You start putting like one of like get some Taylor Swift like iron-on t-shirts, leaving them in the wash.
Yeah, some ticket stubs like folded up in her pants pocket. Yeah. She's like, wait, I didn't go to the Eras tour. What is this?
I bet you even the secondhand ticket stubs go for a stupid amount of money.
Oh yeah,
you gotta sneak into her like her Instagram and just start like liking all of Taylor's posts or whatever.
I thought about taking her TikTok and just like searching up Taylor Swift stuff and just constantly fucking with her algorithm, so she just gets fed Swifty lore and Swift content for a while.
What do you gain from this? Just curiosity.
If it works, pride.
It's the type of satisfaction only a bored husband can attain.
Sometimes you gotta do it for the memes.
This one's for the gram, baby. And this one is for Atlas. We finally got a trailer. This
Titanfall 2. Home. Can I copy your homework? Yeah, just change it up a little bit so it's not obvious. It is literally beat for beat, almost, the plot of Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will end the exact same way.
Stanley Tucci, why are you in this? Money. I answered it. Yeah. He's like, I did Transformers. I know how to act in the context of CGI robots.
Oh my God. This must have been like a fucking weird movie for Jennifer Lopez to film, because I'm sure 90% of it is just her like fucking wildly gesticulating in front of a green screen.
Oh yeah. Like it's sit in the chair and here's the camera. Act at it.
Act at it.
I'm almost morbidly curious to like see how the actual like visuals of this movie come together. Yeah, because a lot of this is just big like mid-level drone shots and then close-ups of her face. Like this is Black Adam.
Well, I think we have to watch this to see if it threatens Dwayne's record of least amount of movement of an actor in a major role.
Yeah.
It might be a contender.
Wait, did you call him Stanley Tucci?
What? The Admiral guy in the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not the Tuchinator.
Sure. Uh-oh. Wait, really?
That's Mark Strong. You're thinking of
Oh shit.
I mean, Stanley Tucci was in Transformers, but Mark Strong was the guy in Kingsman.
I see.
Wasn't he? Was he the guy in Kingsman?
I don't know. Fucking know.
I've seen him in like stuff.
I've seen him.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going crazy. Kingsman, the Secret Service, yeah.
He looks a lot like Stanley Tucci in this, though.
Yeah. Sometimes
just without the
hair.
Glasses.
Flashes of Tucci.
Or have you ever seen them in the same room together?
True.
No. I can't say as though I have.
Mark Strong and Stanley
By day. Tucci. He's same a mild-mannered person? Italian food vlogger.
Are Mark Strong and Stanley Tucci... Yeah, here's a Reddit article. IWTYO. What? What does that mean?
It's an arcane spell from before the time of man.
I Who wonder knows? the yesterday or. I don't get your Reddit speak. You know, you send all these Reddit links. I still don't know what they are. What's a Reddit?
What's an upvote?
What's TLDR?
We're talking about teal deers.
What does .com stand for?
Yeah, I don't trust it. I only trust USA. Where's Reddit.USA? Huh? That's what I want
to
know.
You've given me an idea, and I need to check this out right now.
Reddit.USA?
America.USA.
No way. Redirects to Donald Trump, please.
Oh, no, it doesn't give me a website, sadly.
Damn it.
What about America.gov? Find it
We're
for me.
We're still here.
Please, bring me to America.gov.
You can't just get a .gov domain name.
What if you are America? How about then? Do you ever think of that?
You got me. I hadn't considered the fact that if America, the landmass, tried to register a domain,
the site can't be reached. It's there. It's hidden. It's waiting to be deployed.
Yep, that's what that error message means.
Just like Atlas is waiting to be deployed in our minds, this is going to be the next. What was that? What was the movie?
Did we transition back to
this?
What?
The Creator.
Yeah, this is gonna be the next Creator.
It wishes it would be the
and
next
that
Creator.
It will horribly disappoint.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's what they're getting at. They're like, look at all this stuff on the screen. Isn't
she
it
learns
cool?
to like robots. She learns the value of friendship with robots.
Are you tired of Star Wars and Avatar? Get ready for Atlas. Our Atlas. Robots have forearms.
Sometimes.
Like
she's got the world
like Ben 10.
On her shoulders. yeah. All right. Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, shit. That's right. That did come out.
That did, in fact, happen this week.
Hell froze over because I'm actually excited about a post-Endgame MCU movie.
They are literally here to save the MCU. Will
it
be successful?
Like they've been...
Probably not. But it's going to be the one bright spot in the darkness.
Yeah, we'll see. I feel like, I mean, the fourth wall jokes kind of maybe reveal a little bit of behind the curtain stuff going on here. It seems like Feige gave Ryan Reynolds and the team that made the first couple Deadpool movies the latitude to make their kind of movie with some rules in place. And if this movie does as well as I'm sure it will, it's not going to make a shit ton of money because they let you know in the trailer that, don't worry, guys. This is still probably going to be rated R. We got swearing in here, and we got violence in here. It's all still here. Don't worry about it. But if this kind of gets Marvel to back off from the like cookie cutter, all our MCU movies have to be the same movie vibe that they've been struggling to defeat, and they get more like unique style movies within the shared universe, I think that would be a great thing for everyone.
Yeah.
That
we can only
that,
hope.
That would be what saves the MCU.
Yeah.
If you let people be creative,
let them get this upside. Yeah. There's, I mean, yeah, we got all the Deadpool stuff here. I like the little joke about Liefeld's just feet, the storefront behind them in that one scene. They're fighting in front of the ruins of 20th Century Fox.
I love that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a giant Ant-Man head with the skull still in it being used as the base for all the villains. And all the villains seem like they're past X-Men movie enemies.
Yeah, they've been destroyed. Sure, their universe has been destroyed, so they want to take the MCU now. I'm guessing that's the plot. It's like X-Men.
Maybe.
The X-Men canon is dead now, so all the abandoned X-Men characters are trying to take over the MCU.
That might be a little too silly.
So
maybe we'll have to see. We do have a new character, Charles Xavier's evil sister lady.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be interesting to see, because I learned a little bit about the lore behind what she is. If that's what they're going with, is it confirmed that that's who she is?
I don't know who else it would be. Maybe it's a new character. I don't know. It could be.
Somebody said it could be an alternate to the Doctor Strange teacher.
Oh, the ancient one.
Ancient one, where since she's bald, and we do see the Doctor Strange circle. It doesn't mean it has to be her, but somebody's going to be using some Doctor Strange type magic.
Yeah.
Using a slip ring or whatever it is, a jump ring.
Sling ring.
Sling ring. Yeah. My brain's not working today. Sorry.
I know we often rag on studios for using pop songs in their trailer, but Like a Prayer was an inspired choice for the trailer's song one.
But that's his like go-to.
Yeah, no, it fits for the Deadpool character and the theming of all the other movies, and it also like fits very well with the tone and action of the trailer.
Yeah. It looks pretty fun. I don't know how good it's going to be, but I think it actually might be pretty solid. It depends on how crazy they get with like the multiverse and tying it into other things and other properties and what they decide on doing to, quote, fix the MCU. He is going to be dealing with the TVA quite a bit.
Based on the trailer, it looks like it's going to largely be a Deadpool movie, which gives it a very high floor.
Yeah.
I haven't been really disappointed in a Deadpool movie set ever.
Yeah.
All two of them were fine.
I hope he makes a joke about how we don't need to watch Loki 2, season 2, to figure out who these guys are.
Or there's definitely going to be a joke in there about like streaming series and him being out of the loop because he didn't sign up for Disney Plus.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're definitely bringing in stuff from Loki because TVA is involved, and it seems like this is post Loki season 2 because there's going to be multiple timelines that exist. So they're in that post era where Loki's holding together all the timelines and making sure it doesn't go out of control. Now, whether or not that will impact the movie directly, Loki, probably not. But his organization that is left over, the TVA, is somehow wanting to work with Deadpool and not just like kill him or something like that for making like a branch timeline that he has his wife and all of his friends still alive in. But I guess they're gonna explain that all at the beginning, since we last left off with him figuring out he could use Cable's time machine.
Yeah, that might be the impetus for his interaction with the TVA. Like, they come to discipline him for fuck with the timeline.
Yeah.
And in order like to avoid sentencing, he gets assigned this task.
Well, it actually would be kind of interesting if they go this route. So what we've seen where all these villains are is, I forgot what the name of the place is. But whenever somebody's pruned from a timeline, which you think they're dead, they're actually sent to this like realm, this dimension that like all this extra stuff from different universes is sent to. And then a big monster, I don't know if we see it in this, but it was the giant like purple cloud monster that was going around, that just consumes everything that's on that planet.
Yeah, yeah. We see that in the trailer.
Yeah. So they're, I think what happens is Wolverine and Deadpool get pruned. And they get sent to this realm, and to survive, they have to face off against these villains. Or maybe figure out how to get back to the normal timeline. I'm not sure. But
we'll see.
It kind of depends on where these fall. It's just speculation at this point. But yeah, it's all different things from some other projects.
My vibes towards Marvel are pretty good right now. I'm really, really into X-Men 97 and all the things they're doing with that. And, you know, this looks good. So the vibes are positive. Let's keep it going. I think this is the, like, there's no, at least, theatrical releases between now and when this movie comes out, right?
I don't think so,
their,
yeah.
Their big release
what is,
of the year.
Oh God, so. What is, I'm going to look up what the Marvel roadmap looks like right now.
The next one up, I think, is Captain America.
Does that New come World out Order. In May?
They should be coming out with trailers for that soon, I think.
Yeah.
Because they premiered the trailer at Comic-Con, I think. Was it Comic-Con or was it like...
So,
was it Comic-Con or was it Marvel?
No, Brave New World is 2025. Know.
Brave New World.
Lol. It's, yeah, it's oh my it's god, Meyer Kraven is coming now. Out. Oh no, sorry, I thought that was the same week. It's coming out a month after Deadpool and Wolverine. Then
August,
Agatha show, and then Eyes of Wakanda, then Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, then Captain America. Then Thunderbolts, now are in 2025, Fantastic Four, summer 2025, Blade, fall 2025, maybe. Daredevil, Born Again, somewhere in there, the Ironheart show, and Untitled Avengers movie 2026. Who's the villain? Fuck if I know.
They don't even know yet.
They're probably going to push that back.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff, I don't know how recent that roadmap is, but a lot of that stuff has already been pushed back. Like, Captain America has been pushed back to 2025. This might be the sole, like, Marvel release this year, and I think that would be the best thing for... well, I mean, there's been a couple ones that have come out before this, I think, but to have this be, like, the last one, and we just, like, leave it there.
Yeah.
Or at least until December.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good move for everyone's psyche.
Look what came out in 2024, all the Marvel stuff that was...
I'm trying to remember if there was a movie.
Guardians of the Galaxy, the last one? Or no, Marvel's.
Yeah. Marvel's I don't know if out. There was any MCU movies that have come out in 2024 yet.
Probably just the Marvels. Is that like a January release?
I thought that was in December.
Yeah, 2023, yeah. December. Something like that. Well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that... X-Men 97 and Deadpool and Wolverine are it so far.
I think that's good.
Disney is currently really, really in the bunker planning their next moves. Because they're realizing...
Well, they did...
that they can't keep coasting like this.
I mean, they did talk about, you know, scaling things back, that they were kind of just throwing everything at the wall
good.
And it wasn't being received well.
Take your time.
Yeah, I'd say that's good. Take your time, release when you're ready, and don't rush production.
Make shit that people want to watch.
Take the time to write it also. Like, don't
yeah.
don't you know, force everybody into rewrites and then reshoots. Like, you shouldn't be rewriting a script like during shooting, so you have to go back and reshoot. That's how these things end up with
or at
a
least not like
budget.
Major rewrites. Like, you want to change some lines here and there because
yeah.
you think it looks better. Yeah, that's one thing, but like, don't completely reorder the story and shit like
yeah,
that.
When you're changing around the plot, that you know makes you have to reshoot and get the actors back and you know have them yeah it's not good. It just makes for a bad story in the end. So
Yeah, no movie that gets hacked up in the editing room is any good for it. Yeah, that's trailers. Pretty much there.
Let's, hooray.
Go now to the follow-up, where we'll take a look at one of the most depressing box offices I've seen since, like, well, actually, we had some pretty depressing ones last year, but yeah. I guess this is the reality of the post-COVID cinema landscape.
High highs and low lows.
Yeah.
When it's on, it's on. And when it's not, they should be doing
well. I think even when it's, like, on, it's still, like 2019, I think we sleep on how huge a year that was at the box office. Mm-hmm. Like, I think 8 movies made over $1 billion. It was pretty nutso. And then the world ended.
Yeah. And now we're here with Civil War making in first with an estimated 11 million gross this year. I don't know why it's estimated. It's been in theaters for a week.
Those 91 theaters, they entered the picture at a weird time, so I couldn't quite count exactly.
Yeah. It is made 60 million worldwide. Basically all of that domestic, but like maybe a third, actually like a third of it international.
Interesting.
Surprising.
I wouldn't think this movie would play super well overseas, but
here we are.
Yeah. Again, I'm opening in second this week is Abigail with a 10.297 million opening weekend, 3,300 theaters. And that has brought its grosses up to $17.7 million worldwide. But more importantly than any of that, it finds itself in our spotlight for this week. This movie is reviewing quite well, actually. It's got a 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb, a 87% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a Metacritic of 62. So mixed but generally favorable reviews from the professional critics, which, as you know, don't mean shit to nobody.
Get out of here,
nobody
critics.
Ever.
We want.
What can a professional
reviewers.
Movie critic do it for you? Not a damn thing. So you need to go to the real reviewers. And Jake, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but you're not the most Jake. Because there is a guy here named Est Jake, which I assume is EST. So he's the Jakeiest Jake. He's the Jakeiest. He's the most Jake.
He's really
knew,
out
I
there.
I knew I felt something last week.
A cold wind blew over the.
I checked the rankings. He went down.
Yeah, the hair. I got goose pimples on my neck and like. A murder of crows flew over.
Well, this Jake.
I would say that if your name was Joe, I'd say it was the Joeman, but.
The Jackman?
Yeah.
All right, so this Jake, S. Jake, 10 out of 10 for Abigail. Bloody, fun, original vampire film! Exclamation mark. The trailer for this movie drew me in right away when I watched it a few months ago. A group of criminals kidnap a child for ransom, and turns out she's a vampire? Who wouldn't want to see that film? This movie is as crazy and bloody as it appears in the trailer, with some good twists along the way. Matt Bettinelli Ulpin and Tyler Gillett did a great job with this one. I really like their style of filmmaking. If you liked some of their other movies, like Ready or Not and Scream 5 and 6, you'll most likely enjoy this one. Melissa Barrera and Catherine Newton stood out in this film and did a wonderful job. Rip Angus Cloud. Every movie and show I've seen of his was great, like Euphoria and Your Lucky Day. It's so tragic what happened, and I wish we could have seen what his career would have looked like. He was just getting started. I remember seeing this movie in a theater. I recommend seeing this movie in a theater full effect. If you want a fun night at the movies, go check out this awesome bloody horror vampire flick. 16 out of 22 found that helpful.
Okay.
Nice. Do you guys want a spoiler-filled one? Or
absolutely. Leave nothing to chance.
Spoil okay. me, Daddy.
All right, we'll do the long spoiler one first. Get out of the way. 1 out of 10, X Pringle Face X says, pretty freaking bad. Warning spoilers. This could have had a great twist if I didn't tell you in the trailer that Abigail is a bloodthirsty vampire killing everyone. Instead, the first bit of the movie is trying to make you guess who is the undercover one, who is in the house, but it's just Abigail the entire time. Multiple dots. Like the trailer said, okay, waste of fruitless plot point. The, quote, everybody makes a horrible decisions cliche, let's split up while we're being picked off. Let's continue to split up. Let's split up until there's only two of us left. Clearly, this is working for us. Lambert is a last-ditch plot twist. Hey.
Like Adam?
I know I... maybe. Hey, I know I could have just said this from the beginning and done this in a way that would have been over in seconds, and I also know that I'm the one in control, and I could just open a window at any point in time killing Abigail, but I thought it would be best to wait until almost all of you are dead, then ask the person I lured in there for help at night. This review's so, like, weirdly worded. I want to just fight her 2v1, though we could have just killed her during one of the times she was drugged into sleep, or opened the window when it was daytime, but this is much more dramatic for the sake of the movie. Quote, I'm glasses guy, and I suddenly, for unknown reason, hate Joey now, my son, that I'm a vampire. I failed to kill Abigail. She told me where I went wrong, that I failed again, lol, so I can make Joey a puppet, that I also fail at. I couldn't be a worse last-ditch villain than if I were Dr. Draken from Kim Possible explaining my entire plan to the enemies, end quote.
This movie sounds also unreal. Sorry.
Yeah. Also, I'm tired of regular humans being beaten, stabbed, impaled, thrown through furniture, slammed into walls, and they just walk it off like nothing happened. The last fight scene was so agonizing bad and long, I was actually getting kind of annoyed in the theater. The drama of the violence loses all meaning when regular people just won't die from literally anything. Stabbed? Ah, well. Impaled? Pull that sucker out and keep going. You'll barely even bleed. We save the buckets of blood for stupid scenes like getting turned into a vampire over the course of 20 seconds for the projectile vomiting. Broken bones? Doesn't happen in Hollywood, La La Land. I'm begging somebody out there to make a good horror movie. 2 out of 4 found that helpful.
I'm begging you. Please.
I'm begging.
Begging strips. Begging strips. From Coventry, just Coventry, spelled correctly and everything. They must be a very old, account, but they're here with their 6 out of 10 review. Don't come closer, Tiny Dancer. The Radio Silence Collective and directors Matt Bettinelli-Ulpin and Tyler Gillett, in particular, don't take a lot of time off. After releasing 2 Scream sequels in as many years, they're back again with an original tale similar to, and practically as good as, their previous hit, Ready or Not. Abigail isn't a masterpiece of cinema, nor is it the most innovative or best vampire movie in history, but it's massively entertaining to watch, especially together with an outrageous crowd of horror fanatics, like I did at Brussels International Film Festival. Abigail starts off with a cliched premise. A group of criminals that don't know each other, and each with their own area of expertise, are brought together for a special assignment. They must kidnap the ballet dancing daughter of a wealthy person and babysit her for 24 hours until daddy pays the ransom. The kidnapping went easy, And the babysitting is supposedly the easiest part because, honestly, what could a 12-year-old girl in a cute tutu do against six heavily armed professional criminals, right? After the derivative but mandatory first half hour, criminals showing off, traumatic background stories, pinky swears, Abigail turns into a fast-paced and gore-soaked horror crowd-pleaser with funny one-liners and superior makeup effects. The vampires don't look like traditional counts in cloaks, but more like demons with filthy teeth and blood-red eyes. There are good performances from familiar faces, Kevin Durant, Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton. And particularly the young Alicia Weir is impressive as the titular monster in her uncanny ballet dress. Good splatter fun. Nothing more, but certainly nothing less. 30 out of 43. Found that helpful. But yeah, Catherine Newton.
All right. I read to you now from the Book of Tamika, chapter 937, verse 54. 10 out of 10. So fun. The whole audience laughed, whistled, and shrieked. This movie was such a good time. I don't care who knows it. I love me some vampires. And I don't want no, oh, vampirism is a disease, or of they are animalistic and exactly like zombie-type vampires. I like me some regal, preferably British, attractive vampires who have a big personality. Abigail was so awesome. All of the characters shined bright, had great chemistry as an ensemble. The action scenes were both cool to look at and good humor at the same time. All of it was terrific. The only thing that could have made this movie even better is I never saw the trailer, so I could have been as surprised by everything. Still just too much fun, and actually not a bad film for kids to see. Three found that helpful.
Okay.
British, attractive.
We got 1 out of 10. The Pest 9 said, nice spoopy cutie.
Okay. Okay.
Giving a 1 because she does go on point and there is smoking. I hate point dancing and smoking is bad.
Okay.
Okay.
I love that kind of reviewer.
I need
get sidetracked on the most menial part of the movie to give it a 1 on.
This is sort of picture gets ruined by promotional material. We don't get to go on the journey with the characters of figuring out that it is her doing it because the promotional material told us it is. It isn't even a spoiler for me to say it. The Quebecois muscle man looks like Elon Musk, and I thought he sounded
JJ Frankie JJ.
Like East Euro trash, but maybe I just don't know what Quebecois sound like. The effects are nice and grungy, but the ending sucks. Maybe a soul survivor horror picture sells better, but this should not be a picture with any survivors. 4 out of 17 found that helpful.
Okay. Finally, we have the Roman Empire. 1. You got the entire empire is here.
They all clapped.
They gave this a 4 out of 10. Another failed Dracula parody effort. This take on Dracula, his daughter, in this case, failed so miserably that although it was intended as a serious take on the myth, it ended up a black comedy, failed in every aspect. First of all, to present Dracula's daughter as a little teen ballerina is not funny. It sucks and doesn't make sense. Then we have those beep jokes all over the movie. No one laughs with them. Okay, we have action thriller scenes and jump scares, something we used to watch in the past century or so, since the 1922 Nosferatu silent entry in the cinema. Anyhow, This is another average, forgettable vampire entry. No one will remember in the near future, so you better avoid it and move on. 15 out of 48. Romans found this helpful. That's
Romans.
Abby countryman. Gale.
Yep. Godzilla Cross Kong, the new empire, is in third this week. In its fourth week, bringing in $9.5 million extra dollars, only down 38%. Worldwide gross up around $488 million, $488.9 million actually. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, a late axe from the show, opened with an $8.9 million weekend, which is pretty respectable in this box office climate. Up to $11.5 million worldwide. Spy X Family, Code White, $4.8 million opening. I don't know, Crunchyroll distributed that. That's interesting. $52.7 million worldwide, 46.9 of that being international. Surprise, surprise.
Who'd thought? Yep.
Kung Fu Panda 4 drops two spots into sixth, down to $4.6 million this week, but 15% week on week retention. That's pretty solid. That's up to $482 million worldwide. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire plummets four spots despite only losing 22.7% of its money week on week. In its fifth week, they're bringing in again just $4.4 million, $177 million worldwide for that movie. Gotta think that's a disappointment.
Yeah.
Also falling three spots this week is Dune Part 2, $2.9 million for that in its eighth week, down 32% week on week. That's up to $697 million. So I've got a feeling that that's probably going to make it across the $700 million worldwide threshold there.
You
got to
think it's a success.
Yeah. Monkey Man, the movie we reviewed this week, is still in theaters. Wow, I didn't realize that came out only 3 weeks ago. I knew it was recent, but man,
yep.
This movie did not do well if it's already available at home. Yeah, after just 3 weeks in theaters.
Well, this was, I think, supposed to be a Netflix release, but Jordan Peele was like, no. People need to see this on the big screen.
Give the Nicole Kidman ad out.
Yeah.
$2.288 million for Monkey Man this week, bringing its total worldwide to $29.7 million. And rounding out the top 10, we have The First Omen, down three spots, like most of these movies have been. $1.79 million this week, down 52.9%. Already out of 1,000 theaters after just 3 weeks. $45.7 milli for that one. Notably leaving the top 10 this week, Shrek 2, 2024 re-release.
Bless up.
We hardly knew ye. It made $3.1 million.
That's all I needed to do. We got him. And ironically, The Long Game, out after 2 weeks.
Yeah. They weren't playing The Long Game
The Long Game.
Got him.
Sasquatch Sunset is up another 419.2%.
They did a re-release, it looks like, or they did an actual.
They widened it. So it was only in 9 theaters in its first week, and now it's in 856. $473,000. It's paid $758K worldwide.
Good job, Sasquatch.
Not a movie that I think has reviewed terribly well. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk now briefly and whimsically about some gaming news.
Let's do it.
There's plenty of stories out there this week.
There are, and I'll start with the hottest one, the freshest one off the press. The Fallout 4 update.
The next gen update that broke modded saves, like the one I just started, and
oh no.
Yep,
I heard about that today.
It's so next gen that it's doesn't improve anything on the PC version.
Yeah, it's 14 gigabytes, and it doesn't seem to do fucking anything. I don't notice anything. I mean, I was modded, so maybe the
well,
visual
it breaks
mods.
That's the thing
I had installed made it, no. The game look a lot better than it should. Because
I think
it looks.
It mainly was like people were saying, like, if you play vanilla on console, it will be an improvement. That's,
I guess,
that's like,
I mean,
it.
The only thing, I don't know if it's like The Witcher 3 next gen update, which just made it run on DX12 and run so much worse and look not much better.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, yeah, I know everyone wants to kind of get in on this. I know the guy who was making Fallout London, he posted like an entire piece about it. Like, oh no,
they got screwed.
Bethesda should have talked to me personally about approving this mod. I'm offended. I was not included in the decision making on this.
I think they were just annoyed because they didn't really give a time when they were going to update it.
They didn't, but at the same time, anyone should have been able to put two and two together and know that this was going to drop around the same time as the TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that, I mean, as I understand it, I'm learning a lot about the modding community this week. Usually, game companies will like release that, hey, we're going to be doing an update, modders, if you want to maintain compatibility, now is your time. But man, it's another Bugs Bunny Elmer Fudd level blowback in your face blunder here. I think,
but a Fallout London really makes sense.
Well, I mean, presumably
the guy making
they got
it, I think,
nuked.
He spent like 2 years making that mod, so I would assume he's been building a cohesive setting for it. Like, instead of 50s era nuclear things, it's probably like a bunch of, you know, keep calm and carry on World War II Blitz style culture stuff.
Yeah, I just don't. Well, I know, like, radiation would probably have spread over there, but there are no bombs.
I don't know. I think everyone got caught with something at some point.
Yeah, like I think it was.
Did
that? As
I think
I
it was
like
a total annihilation.
Proliferation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was just China and the U.S. bombing each other, but because of the amount of radiation that went up into the atmosphere, it made conditions unlivable and.
Well, yeah, I mean, nuclear winter is nuclear winter. That's going to affect everyone.
Yeah, no, but it's just like, should we expect, like, pristine buildings, or...
I mean, considering it's going to...
You could absolutely conceive of, like, oh, England was allying with the U.S., so, you know, China's allies in Europe drop bombs on them.
It's small, it wouldn't take...
Yeah, it's like any... It's like how Skynet did it, right? You know, it played on the alliances that existed.
I went to go search up, like, I was like, did London get bombed during Fallout? And I typed in, did London Bridge fall down? That was the first and second.
I'm glad people are out here investigating the real questions.
According to Fergie, every time I come around, London Bridge falls down.
Yeah.
Find the Fergie reference at the bottom of the ruins of the London Bridge dungeon on the map. Yeah, no, that I mean, it seems like an interesting setting. It seems like it would be fun, but apparently he's totally boned now because of this update.
I think it sets them back quite a bit.
Yeah.
Not an exaggeration at all.
No, I think it really undoes a lot of progress that he had made. Like, it's not an easy feat to kind of update a mod that was running on one version of the game engine to a new one that, I mean, I'm not sure how much it's changed. I don't know enough about modding or programming to speculate on how much work would be involved in that, but it's not insignificant, and it's not like modders are getting paid to do this necessarily or have large teams that would make that not as difficult.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that's fallen out of this, makes me think, oh god, now I'm just reminded of the stupid parody Fallout intro. I hope this doesn't cause any fallout between us. Fallout New Vegas. I think Starfield is also, like, I know Todd was talking about, like, oh, Starfield's gonna get a big update soon, get ready, big news on Starfield.
I don't know. If something cool came out, I'd play Starfield again. I just I got what I wanted out of it, and that was done.
Yeah.
Like I said in my review, it's aight. It's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be, but I think a lot of the criticisms out there of it are incredibly valid.
Yeah.
It didn't take risks, and according to Slay the Spire co-creator, MegaCrit's Casey Yano, that's not the way to do things. He advises that taking risks is actually the least risky thing you can do, arguing for the appeal of hyper-engaging games. And if there's anyone who knows something about creating a hyper-engaging game, it's one of the dudes who made Slay the Spire.
Ain't that the truth, yeah.
But no, I agree. I think a lot of the woes we experience with big releases these days is that they're kind of designed by committee to appeal to the broadest audience they can, because it's a huge financial investment. Need to recoup that investment. But if you try to make something that appeals to everyone, it appeals to no one.
And you're missing
You get a lot of banal, uninspired games.
Get up at the ass crack of dawn.
You just don't want to pay money for it.
I look at triple and I guess quadruple.
Make sure you're resubscribed.
And I feel like trying to play the game as intended. One, I don't feel like there's a strong intention behind the game other than
find the ride that your kids are going to want to go on.
But it feels like
you're going to want to go on.
And I haven't done this, so Jake, you can probably fill me in, or
the only available time.
Trying to book your Disney vacation and like set up your ride scheduling.
Yeah, because you should have, if you got the Premium Plus upgraded account, you got to log in at.
You
got to
get your fast passes in order, and
the last time I went to Disney,
and
it was a lot easier.
Once you link your PayPal account to that,
for me, I never had to like book
a vacation,
right?
Because
my uncle lives in Orlando, so I just call up Uncle Chris. I'm like, "Hey, can I crash at your place while I go to Disney for the X number of days on these dates?" And it's like, "Yay or nay." And then back in those days, you could just spend a few $100 on a 4-day park hopper pass, and fast passes were still a thing. You'd just go to the ride and take a ticket for a time and then come back at that time.
You're good. Yeah. But I...
The fun is going on the ride.
Yeah, I will say, because I went to Disney, two or three years ago, but we only went to like the Hollywood Studios for the Star Wars park. And we totally missed the window to like reserve a spot for the Skywalker ride.
Yep.
And that was the one you
logged
really,
into
it
the
really
app.
Popular. Everybody wanted to ride that one, so you had to reserve your spot. We joined the wait list and we got on it like midway through the day. So that it wasn't really too big of a problem. But like building your lightsaber, everybody who reserved a spot, no wait list spots open.
Because you didn't do this 6 months
in
advance.
That was one you had to like get up really early and be the first in line to do that if it was going to be busy.
Right. And you need to put in your T-Mobile promo code. Yeah. That's what I feel AAA gaming is like.
I was actually because Kaylee and I were thinking about possibly going to Disney this year, and I was watching some videos about what it's like to book a Disney vacation now, and I was just like, oh my god, I don't know if I want to do this just because I don't want the fucking hassle of doing all that shit. I mean, Universal Studios is also really cool. It's a lot easier to book.
Well, so now, I mean, like, the Fast Pass, I don't think there's Fast Passes anymore. Yeah, it's just... Yeah. Yeah, it is really no. And the other thing is, you have to do that for restaurants too. I don't know if it's for everything, but the restaurant that we wanted to go to for food, we had to like reserve our table on the app. Yeah.
Yeah, you can also just go at not peak times. Like the best. Here's the secret sauce. So listen in. If you're gonna go to a theme park, the best time to go is between the Thanksgiving holiday and the Christmas holiday, because people are going to go on either of those two holidays and not in between.
Yeah, no, that's one where wants you, to go when at the you beginning go. Of December.
Yeah, but if you go in December, at the beginning of December, it's still cool, because especially if you go to Disney World, because downtown Disney is all decorated for Christmas. They do a really awesome job with it. It's really cool to see. And you get to see that, and there's also the weather is not as oppressive in December in Florida, which is very important if you're someone who looks like I do. And there's less people. You can actually get on rides. You don't have to book a fast pass. You can wait in a reasonably sized line. Yeah, it's this genie bullshit where yeah. you actually it's basically they've gone back to yeah, the ticketing system.
I didn't
system.
Have anything. There was nothing really. Oh, not gaming related. But
buy your ticket book, but now it's online.
Tick-tock. Tick-tack-toe. Tick-tock-toe. It's past the ban. Bye-bye, TikTok. So
yeah, because they're like attractions.
I'm sure everybody's
now.
Heard.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they were always listed as attractive. Like at Hollywood Studios, like
so,
my favorite restaurant
week,
in that park. I don't
House
know if it's still there. Is the
as a unitary party
sci-fi drive-in
a bunch of
diner
bills.
Where you all the tables are shaped like cars,
for defense spending,
and
but
they
snuck in a little,
have a projector
little
playing
there,
like trailers
the,
for cheesy 1950s B sci-fi movies.
Mandate, I guess.
Well,
the
is,
mandate
it's
for
pretty
bite
cool.
dance,
nice.
Which is a
and there's the other one in
part of the
Hollywood Studios, I think.
Chinese parent company,
which with it's one of those restaurants where like
company,
the wait staff
own,
makes fun of the customers.
They only own like 20% of,
but it's
TikTok.
Like a 50s household type deal.
So there's China's not
a lot
gonna
of obsession
sell.
With
like,
the 50s.
Not, they're not going to sell their part of it.
I'm realizing now,
it
seems
it's
like you know, it might have been
that's when it opened,
and it's not worth giving that up over yeah. the like however
so
many.
That's gaming.
Like several million.
Yeah,
there's a couple
We've
million.
We've definitely
users
talked
that,
about
in
video
the US
games there
that use it, and it's only like a handful of percentages
I mean,
worldwide of what they actually have. So it's just not worth it for them. They're not gonna do it.
TikTok.
Also, this is something. So they have 12 months.
Yeah,
from,
they're
like, the signing. It's like 9 or 12 months from the signing of the bill to like actually divest. But
thank God.
Well, I don't
so
think
what happens
I don't think
now.
It's happen that
where
fast.
Will all those? Well, where will all those
pants
wayward
off
dopamine
off
brain cells go?
And it's going to get caught up in like judicial hell. So. So I mean there's not even like a real reason to be doing this in the first place, but yeah, I mean I'm not gonna get into it. It's all of that. It's also the fact that this is where people are This is where the Zoomers are getting their news from, and they don't like the fact that that news is not CNN or Fox or the mainstream media, so they can control the narrative. I don't know. I mean, it's so silly. The only thing that TikTok has done, which is so funny because it was after one of the hearings or something that TikTok had, was for some reason there was a meme trend that came out about Donghuang Shi glycerin manufacturers.
Billions.
And where to get the best quality industrial made glycerin for all of your glycerin meat needs. And it passed ISO standards. It was J standard 109 compliant. It was all compliant with the EU standards. It was an amazing commercial glycerin product. And you could even find food grade
10,000%
product on the website too, which was big news.
So. Yeah, it was largely a symbolic gesture.
The Donghuang Shi, let me get the name.
Well, we got to appear to be tough on China, Jake. It's an election year.
Well, where do you get your glycerin from, Kurt? Okay.
What's the TikTok version of sign this petition? If we get a million signatures, they can't ban TikTok.
I messed up. They already banned the TikTok. I haven't seen them in a while. They already banned the TikToks from playing. Industrial glycine TikTok. Yeah, Donghua Jinlong industrial grade glycine. There's a lot of stuff that this is for. It's from the Donghua province, and you can trust them.
I stopped paying attention for half a second there. Why the fuck are we talking about glycerin right now?
Well, Monkey Man is.
Donghua, he knows
where to get good glycine. He's over there in India. He's close to.
Okay, I'm nipping this in the bud right now because we can ill afford to fall down a glycerin rabbit hole. We're going to instead talk about
glycine when he sees it, and I'm sure he would agree.
I don't. Prochem, I think
the other side of the China Sea, Japan. We get our golden corn syrup from Japan, as God intended.
Like a true American. Like the Monkey Man. The Monkey Man's a true American.
Yeah. Oh, it's glycine, not glycerin, Jake. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's, you gotta love it. The internet is still pumping out bangers. Still pumping out glycine. Oh, it's the G in ATCG in your DNA. Okay.
Let's talk about Monkey Man.
No. How much? What? He's 1/4 glycine.
What is he close to?
The hero Hanuman. he ate that juicy mango. Well, it wasn't a mango. It was glycine.
It was the sun.
I love that. I love being able to check myself.
Yeah, so we spotlighted this movie a couple weeks ago, and some of the reviews were really fucking wild. So I said, we might have to watch this at some point, and that point came this week. And having watched the movie now, I can say, I did not have to watch this. No one has to watch this. This is not a very good movie.
It's interesting, not the movie itself, not for me. It is interesting because it has received a lot of positive, news or had a very positive reception online. Notably for, I guess, for the content of it. And a lot of it has to do with, I guess, Indian social issues and Indian politics. I don't know anything about that. So I have to judge it as the action movie that it was marketed to us as in America, and that movie is not great.
No. On a strictly technical level, this is one of the worst edited movies I've seen in recent memory. Just a lot of bizarre choices, weird smash cuts. My favorite was the out-of-focus transitions from different blurry groups of people to other blurry groups of people.
do my optometrist visit at home.
Another goofy thing I enjoyed was his stunning and brave use of color in the taxi chase scene, where their taxi and their taxi alone had blue interior lights, despite it not having blue lights anywhere else on the taxi, and none of the other taxis having blue lights.
Nope, it's there. Yeah, so the story, there's actually kind of a story behind this, and the story was that production was fucking busted.
Gee, I wonder why.
There is a Screen Rant article here that I'm going to just kind of breeze through, called Everything That Went Wrong During Monkey Man's Cursed Shoot. And is a listicle, so perfect for the content churn machine. So first, they couldn't shoot in India. They couldn't do any of their shooting in India because of COVID during pre-production. Because of the location change, they lost a bunch of their crew. One of the gaffers had a heart attack during shooting.
And Jordan
Dev Patel broke his toes
said, no,
2 weeks before shooting began
to streaming
during his like practice for the choreography. Then during the first fight scene, he broke his hand. Then the financier of the movie went bankrupt. I don't know if it's later, and I did hear their like crane camera broke, so they had to use an iPhone on a rope for some of the shots. Dev Patel got an eye infection crawling in a dirty bathroom. He tore his shoulder. iPhone, but yeah, no, they had to use like iPhones for some of the shots. Yeah,
well, I mean, that tracks, because some of these shots look just really
they ran amateur. Out of sugar glass, so they couldn't do any broken glass shots.
Well, let me.
No one. None of the tables in the VIP room set had table tops, so they couldn't put any glasses on the tables.
I feel a lot less bad.
Fucking...
Because I watched this last night. Thought I gave myself
just
a
dump
time.
It at
oh
that
my,
point.
They had to glue the breakaway tables they used for the fight scenes, they only had three.
Right,
they had to re-glue them together between shots and takes.
Oh, my God. That is fucking wild.
Yeah, and I'm not counting like the... A little squabble they did in the beginning.
That is correct.
It's, I guess, A- for effort, if nothing else.
I mean, yeah, it seems like it was an achievement just to get something in the can, but what got in there was not particularly compelling. It's a gratuitously long movie. It has no business being what it's like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, yeah. When Dev Patel,
I think it's saying something that we all watched this movie and found ourselves like aggressively losing interest
to get the revenge on
before the action could pick up.
I did not.
Let me give you an idea of how engaging this movie is. My girlfriend got so bored watching this movie, she went to go clean the kitchen.
Yeah. I fell asleep.
That was more exciting to her.
The next day, and then fell asleep at lunch watching
Bobby's
it.
Bobby's the name you came up with? Okay, so
Let me repeat that for those in the back. 40 minutes into the movie, the first fight scene happens.
Yeah. And I'm
on chief of police.
The ring scene, the fight scene in which it was worse than Taken. I don't think we saw one complete like punch being thrown.
Oh yeah.
No,
we just see them cutting between two close shots.
He's cool. He's doing cocaine.
Shots of different parts of the crowd and like the middle of the action and the South African MC. Who, with the immediately indecipherable accent, I was like, okay, I gotta throw on subtitles.
Find out what his fucking name, Monkey Man, Kid. It's Kid. So Kid, Monkey Man is just a guy. Yeah. So he's just a guy.
You mean the cool shot where he showed that he got his fake name from the can of bleach that was across the room from him?
Like,
that wasn't riveting?
Okay, it's fine to have a chip on your shoulder about that, but like, it doesn't make for a very gripping like action
movie.
If that's your whole thing is just to kill one guy. It's like, I get your trying
to. And he's a terrible assassin at first. Like, he just plans the worst fucking hit of all time. Who's now running for office and is a crime kingpin and has a hot wife and is generally just more badass than the hero. Like,
they definitely make him look slick.
Okay, the one thing I do like about this is that when he does fight with his monkey
at the same time,
he gets monkey powers. Can we all agree on that?
He fucking snorts liquid bleach and just has to go like gag in a sink a little bit.
He fights like a monkey, and that's awesome.
That dude is fucking my hero.
Innovative and novel to put in a movie. Man fights like monkey. Dude was doing the gorilla.
I think his name is Kid.
I was one step away.
He's one of those like, they didn't give him a name. Like, he's just the protagonist.
No, that was his name. He identified himself as I'm the protagonist.
Like, that was he wearing a monkey mask.
Of his mother being murdered right before his eyes and his village burned down.
Here's the thing about it. Like, at first he was so ineffective, I thought this was like he was trying to be the Jackie Chan of the John Wick-esque subgenre where he just kind of bumbles his way through his fight scenes and is generally very beatable.
Also,
but apparently that was just
like
so that he could look really strong later.
Shoot him. He could have a training
montage. Why was he holding it?
After he trains with the Transgender Temple.
Take it. He gets distracted. Oh, noise. Oh no, my gun.
He learns how to do a spinning heel kick.
Oh,
Can...
There are definitely no martial arts movies with that style.
And then he discards it one scene later.
Yes. He symbolically bleaches the fucking mask.
It's pure now.
And then he fucking takes it off at the earliest available opportunity. It was hilarious. I was laughing so hard. I was already laughing hard, and then you know what set me? Is when he fucking shot the firework.
He couldn't buy another gun. He bought the snub-nosed revolver, which is like the iconic gun of the disgruntled terrorist. Like that is what the desperate hitman always buys. Like, I'm just gonna get the snub-nosed pistol and just point blank cap him. But he ran out of He takes his time in this movie, yeah. There's a lot of underpaced action in this.
A lot of world building that fails to build the world.
Yeah. One of the big ones that stood out to me was there's a couple big ones. The first one was he takes his first attempt at trying to work his way up the ladder, but he gets found out. The action scene, he almost dies and goes to the temple or the hidden base or whatever. So there he trains and he learns. He has this little one scene training montage where he learns how to fight from listening to a guy play the tabla. It starts out like, okay, he's following the rhythm, like the tabla player is playing the rhythm to instruct him on how to pace his strikes. And it's like a dance, or so you should be led to believe.
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, that would be the smart and cool way to do that.
Right.
But I don't think that was the case.
They don't sync up the beats. He's just.
See, I don't know if that was supposed to be him teaching him the rhythm of striking. I think that was just him going ham on the drums, because he was doing that in another scene too. I think that's just his thing.
But like, what gives me the impression is like the other characters in the scene are like bobbing their heads to the beat. Like it's, I think the focus was supposed to be on the rhythm, and Dev Patel's character's punches have no rhythm. He's just hitting a sack of rice. I should note, I guess that was another big part of the movie is, Dev Patel, I learned, I guess, is a huge heartthrob amongst many. Seeing a shirtless Dev Patel was like half of the, when I was looking at the forums, like that was half of the people like, oh my God, when he took his shirt off, that made the movie for me. that was like, I guess, a big draw. Didn't care about the rest of the movie. They just wanted that. No, the other big thing was the climactic fight scene in the last like third of the movie, the last like 10 minutes of the movie. It's comprised of like three big fight scenes. And the first one where it's the all out brawl between his crew and the Baba, what is his name? Baba Shakti, yeah. And his gang, it plays like this mellow, languid kind of like like quiet song as they're having this intense action sequence, and it kills the mood. I was like, you need to hit them with like the high energy, pulsating like club music, because this is your big exciting scene. Why are you trying to put me to sleep in the middle of your action
music
scene?
Yeah, the music choices were very unconventional in this movie, to say the least. I'm sure there's someone out there that likes this, but honestly, there are better movies of this ilk out there, much better movies of this ilk out there, and I don't really feel that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe someone who grew up in this culture would feel differently, but I don't really feel like there's a super compelling story, even in comparison to other Bollywood action movies I've seen. Like, RRR had a much more compelling plot than this movie did.
Yeah.
And like I said, the fucking police chief, apart from murdering that woman that one time, was a much cooler character than the protagonist, which is not the feeling you want to conjure in this type of movie.
So I guess the thing to take away, so for us as an audience, did not hit. If you know a lot about Indian politics and you don't like Narendra Modi, I guess this was huge vindication. Because it's Baba Shakti is, I guess, a very thin allegory for Narendra Modi.
I figured he was in his
administration.
I'd like to see what he can do with
that. I think that's part of why they couldn't shoot it in India.
It's like a lot of the issues were political commentary.
So a lot of the comments I saw was like, it's probably not actually going to do well in India because the message is just not going to go over well with the audience there.
Rounding that trillion.
Or they're gonna censor a lot of it.
In some of the scenes. And it
was if you don't like Modi, I guess this movie is going to be a hit for you.
I mean, I don't know. I feel that it's very poorly paced. It's tough for me to imagine someone really getting into it, but I don't know. Different strokes for different folks. I don't really have much else to say about this movie. It's kind of a nothing burger.
This doesn't affect too strongly my opinion of Dev or Jordan. I know this was Dev's first time out as a director, so it does. You know, he's got a long ways to go if he wants to keep.
Yeah, directing I don't think stuff. He has much talent for directing, but maybe he'll learn a lot from his mistakes in this movie.
Yeah, as an actor, sure.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine in the lead role. Like, I don't have any complaints there. Yeah. And in fact, the acting generally was pretty good. Not a lot of complaints there. I guess that's one nice thing I can say about the movie.
Yeah. and actual props.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Bad. Lots of bad cutting and very bad use of framing. I mentioned it earlier, but it's like a very, very letterbox movie. Very wide aspect ratio. And it sucks because a lot of the shots are really close up. So even from the first scene, there are characters who have both the top and bottom of their heads cut off by the frame. And it's all the movement is moving at that level. So their eye lines aren't staying the same. And it's really hard to get an entire full picture. I guess that's... if you could call that stylization, maybe, but I don't think it's that. I think it's just not great vision for how to set up your scene.
A stylistic choice, but a poor one. All right, yeah, I think that'll about wrap for this episode of the Sound Studs podcast. Until next time, be well, stay safe, and party like it's 1995.
Peace.